Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support. And now it's time to relax with our coffee break.
Okay, so now we've got a musician with us, a very talented musician who goes by the name of Andre Louis. So, hi, Andre.
Hello, good morning.
How are you today?
Sleepy, but alive, I think, yes.
I know. That's cool.
It is a little bit early, isn't it?
It's a bit, yeah. I mean, it's not really for me. I mean, my wake-ups usually consist of 24 hours 4, half hour 5, 6 o'clock. Depends on when the old daughter likes to wake, but, you know.
Yeah, have that during the week.
But 10 o'clock, I'm still waking up.
Yeah.
Booting slowly, as it were.
If you give us a background to yourself, Andre, first off, like, how did you come to enjoy music, first off? What brought you to music?
I lived in a house full of music. My mum and my dad always played lots and lots of music, both on tape and physically. My dad is a still pan play, teaches still drums to children in schools these days. And that's where my mum met him, actually. When she was much younger than I am now. So basically every day I'd come home from school, there'd be music playing, I'd wake up and there'd be music playing. I'd go to sleep and wouldn't be able to sleep because they'd have loud music playing. So it kind of dominated my life from a very early age. They bought me my first keyboard, I guess, I think it was the age of 3. And they say that I learned to play EastEnders and they were proud of this. I think it's a bit sad, really.
You claim to
I love play. The show, but being able to play that at that young is just a bit scary.
Yeah.
So we don't talk about that. And then I went to Worcester and I took a few piano lessons at Worcester because I'm a Worcesterite, mate, and proud of it, like. So, yeah, I was the youngest in the school, actually. I went at age 9. I was there for 8 years, from 92 until 2000, did some piano lessons. And I decided that when I left, I would promptly forget everything I was taught and become self-taught. And then from there, I just sort of spread my wings, I guess, and just try to make a name for myself.
So obviously you've done quite a lot of recording. Do you do your own music as well? And I know quite a lot of music's available to download and purchase as well.
Oh yeah, basically everything that you'll find online is done in house by me with no help from anybody else. I have worked with lots of people, but the kind of thing is it's really copyright laws and everything. So if you even have a hint of someone else's stuff on your music and they get bossy, then they will sue you. And you know. You don't have to be in America to sue someone for the slightest infraction these days. So I just try to not do that. So until I get like full consent to work with somebody on a track, all the stuff online is me. It's quite self-centered, but it makes money. So I have to start somewhere.
The music that people will hear throughout the podcast, or at least a large proportion of it, is from Andre, and that's his shorts project. How did that come about, Andre?
Indirectly, it's the fault of a couple of friends of mine, Patrick Perdue and Derek Lane, because they were doing a radio show on TBRN, which is the internet station that I run, TBRN.net, bit of shameless plug. And I decided that I wanted to make a sort of funny bit of music for their show that they could use in an ID. And I did this, and it didn't get used, and I wasn't annoyed about it because, hey, you know, we have so much libraries and stuff these days. So I thought, well, instead of scrapping it, why don't I start a project with it called the Shorts Project? And that was, I think, in June of last year. So I started that and I called it Short 1. And then from there, it just spread and we're up to Short 70 at this point. And I just keep making them. And the idea is that you can use these in podcasts for intros, outros, middle bits, transitions, whatever you like. I've even heard people use them for radio adverts and TV adverts. Well, not real TV yet. That's my next goal, is to get them to, you know, big channels and things like that. But just wherever you think, or just to play, because, you know, the work I put into a lot of these can be quite long. I did a breakdown of one of these, actually, like in a podcast, and it was Short 15. And the breakdown took longer, or about the same time, to make as the short did, in that it took so long, it really surprised me. So, for example, like one of the shorts could take 2 hours to make, but 20 seconds to play back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all these people that do animation, for example, all the Wallace and Gromit stuff, takes weeks to make a 45-minute film. Weeks and weeks.
Yep.
And that's kind of how the shorts are, but in a lot much smaller scale. Mm-hmm. But then some of them just come out in 5, 10, 15 minutes. It just depends.
Yeah, just depends how the mood takes you and how you're
feeling.
And
how many tracks are involved in each thing, because it's all MIDI. And people always think, ooh, MIDI's cheesy. That's because they're used to the horrible thing in Windows when they play back, I don't know, Canyon or Passport or something horrible like that. Yeah. But if you ever hear a real MIDI on good synthesizers, you'd be surprised. So a lot of the stuff you do hear, the intro to this podcast sometimes as well, it's all MIDI.
So what other projects are you involved in or working at the moment as well?
Oh, I do sound design as well. I should mention that. So if you use Chicken Nugget, which is the latest accessible Twitter client, then all the sounds in that were done by me. And if you use Blind Square for iOS, then all the sounds were done by me. So I broke into sound design in mid-2004 because I decided that I was really sick of all the XP sounds and I could do better. And I did. I spent a whole day making new sounds and I gave them to people as a trial run. And people really liked them. I got much better feedback than I thought I would. To the point where back in the day when Blank or Tech existed, they did a sort of segment on it and what sounds you could expect in it. And they went through installing it and how to do it. I can't remember. I think it was Jamie Pauls who did that initially. And now I know people that build my sounds into like Windows, Slipstream Windows installs. So I knew a guy that actually worked in one of these sort of, build it places, and you can go to this company for cheap computers, whatever. And I know that he put them on all the machines. So without having to be conceited or arrogant in this case, I can tell you that the sound scheme I made in 04, 10 years later, is probably on more than 1,000 computers worldwide. And that's just a great feeling.
It is, isn't it?
It's a really great feeling.
That's
and it does still vaguely work in Windows 7 and 8, but Windows 7 and 8 have a lot less sounds, or they don't trigger as much. So the main sounds work, but for example, the start sound doesn't, but the shutdown sound does. It's very inconsistent, Microsoft.
So you also play in a band, don't you, Andre?
I do. I play in a band with some guys from Birmingham. We do this like maybe once or twice a year, and we play in the very same hotel every time. It's quite cool. So I don't play often, but my dad also, as I said, is a musician. So sometimes I get to play in a band with him in London instead of in Wales. So I don't play out nearly as much as I'd like, but I do indeed play out sometimes.
So that's going to be a totally different experience, isn't it? But it's good to have the two, I imagine, doing the live stuff and then doing, recording things in your own environment.
It's brilliant because I do get the best of both worlds. I get to shine outside and, be part of something really big and really, phenomenal. And that's just, there's no feeling like that. I guess the only other thing you could equate it to is like directing a film or something or being a part of something like that. And playing to a crowd is always fun. Not having to show off necessarily, nothing like that, but just being able to do that is cool. But then go home and be inspired by last night's gig and make this cool track or whatever it is. So definitely the feeling is both things have their place.
What we're going to do is we're going to actually listen to one of Andre's songs. So which song are we're going to be listening to?
I'm going to send you a single called Unplanned Journey that I released either last year or this year. I can't remember, actually, because I've put out so much in the last few months. And that actually is due to a company called distrokid.com, which basically means anybody can put out anything they want for a nominal fee of $19 a year. You can put unlimited tracks on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and Amazon. And I basically took to that like a duck to water, and I love it. It basically made me inspired to make music, motivated even more than I already was to just do better and better. And so that's why I have jumped from one album in 2009 and nothing for 3 years to about 3 or 4 albums and 15 singles in 2014.
That's a brilliant idea. What a good idea to encourage up-and-coming musicians.
It is. So how can people get hold of your music? What's the best way?
So many ways. The best way to start is go to my website, andrelouis.com, Google my name. If you Google my name, the first result is actually my website, followed by, I think, my iTunes artist page. You can find me on Spotify as well. So if you don't want to pay for any of this stuff, and I don't blame you at all because instrumental can be boring, because that's all it is. I can't do vocals and I can't sing. And you don't want your windows smashed. So don't. You can find me on Spotify as just the same name, artist Andre Louis. On Audioboo, which is not the same, it's Freaky Foof. And there's a whole story behind that. It's also my Twitter name. I'll spell that for you. FreakyFwoof. That's where I am on Audioboo and Twitter. So lots of places, lots, too many places. God dear.
So if you want to follow Andre, you can go and follow him on Audioboo and listen to what he's up to. And do you want to, if you can, give us a quick explanation of how Freaky Foof came about? Because it is interesting.
Ah, yes. You see, I was on one of these voice chat services, like Skype, actually, but in about 2004 or something with Patrick. And we were just discussing sound libraries, actually. Funny thing. And he played this sound of a chair scraping across tiles on a kitchen floor. And you know, onomatopoeia, I decided that that sounded like the word foof, and it kind of stuck. And so from then on, I became Freaky Foof. I can't remember how the Freaky came about, but it just sort of, it's been a name that stuck with me for the last 10 or so years, and it just, it won't go away, but I kind of like it, so.
It's what we all know you as on Audio Boo, isn't it? And Twitter, it's like, we don't call you Andre. It's like, it's Freaky Foof.
It's Freaky. It's, it gets shortened to Freaky occasionally, so yeah, I suppose I am.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you very much, Andre. Is there anything else that you would like to say before, you know, before we close? Is there anything else that we've forgotten or any other places you can be found or anything like that?
Well, there's the other project, only one, and I won't take long over it, but the whole Rekev idea on Twitter. Rekev is sort of record everything, and we sort of want to take better pictures than those who take pictures on Instagram. We want to take recordings of your everyday life, that we, all the sounds that we take for granted, and we want you to share them with us, because we think, those of us who run it, my friend and I from Estonia, that in 2015 years' time, you know, all these sounds will change. So, for example, when you step out of your house today and you listen to the traffic as you cross the road, think that in 20 or so years, all the cars will be electric, because the government will probably push for that and to stop pollution laws. And so the sounds of today will not be the sounds of tomorrow. And so our our slogan is basically encapsulating the sounds of today for the people of tomorrow.
Ah, interesting. I've seen the hashtag Rekev on Audio Boo, and a lot
that's
of the sound, yeah, a lot of it is, it's recorded in stereo as well, isn't it? A lot of it
doesn't have to be, but we just want to, we want you to help us to capture the sounds of world as it is now, because I can guarantee you that all these things that we now hear will be very different in a few years.
Yeah, definitely. So
because
if anybody wants to get
the pace of technology is just improving and advancing so quickly. I mean, like, for example, between 1960 and 70, not so much. 70, 80, kind of. 80, 90, more so. You know, it just keeps progressing.
So if anyone wants to get involved with that, Andre, how would they do that? How do they? What do they have to do?
Okay. Listen to some of the posts on the Rekev Audio Boo account. I think it's Rekev. If it's not, it's Rekevery with the R-Y. I think some might have taken Rekev and we got stuck. But the hashtag on Twitter, to make it short and easy to post, is just hashtag R-E-C-E-V. And listen to what kind of things we're doing. And if you think you have something to contribute, just hashtag it with Rekev in the title of the Boo, so that it makes it easier for us to search Audio Boo for your posts. And we will add it to our Rekev board and favorite it and tweet it for you if you don't have Twitter. And hopefully people can hear it and enjoy.
Great. So that's a way that people can get involved with sound, even if they're not particularly, you know, if they're not musical or anything like that.
Oh,
they can just get involved with the, with, you know, producing sound and join in, really.
Definitely. This isn't a musician's thing. This is just anybody can do this.
Yeah, that's great. Oh,
thanks
for that. That's been brilliant.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Anytime.
All right, then.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.